When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And welcome to Monday's edition of the Terrace Scottish Football Podcast. Indeed, the final proper Monday show of the 2022-23 Scottish football season. There will be an award show. It's been recorded, I think, simultaneously with this one, potentially. But we will be reviewing the last weekend of domestic football, where we had a fairly predictable Scottish Cup final and then an absolutely chaotic playoff final, which is, I guess, what you've come to expect from those matches. So we thought we'll just go through it chronologically, get the boring one out of the way, and then spend the bulk of our time talking about the big one. So I am joined today, fresh from Kirkcaldy, it's Sean McGuigan.
Hello there.
And fresh out of Glasgow, not anymore. You don't live in Glasgow. You've never really lived in Glasgow for.
I have. I did.
Oh, you have. I don't know why. I was like, why? I never planned these, and then I'm like, you're from Glasgow these days.
I'm from Glasgow these days, but I'm a Mogai boy, so hence why I'm not that much of a Glory Hunters for supporting Rangers. I just want to make that clear. Like I shouldn't support like the Glasgow Rose really. I have a legitimate reason to support Rangers, but anyway, carry on.
And with that fantastic introduction, we might as well just get on to football. Yeah, I do this for a living.
You never know it.
The difference being I usually prepare the stuff that I'm going to talk to people about. Right, so we're going to talk about Saturday's Scottish Cup final, where Celtic defeated Inverness Caledonian Thistle by 3-1. And I don't know what you guys thought, but for me, it kind of summed up Celtic at Hampden this season, where they did win the game, but they were also like vaguely disappointing.
I think they probably played well in the League Cup final, but apart from that, they've certainly not shot the lights out in any of the games. And yeah, I thought they were Celtic certainly first half and to be honest, most of the second half quite poor, but. Yeah, obviously they just played to the level, I suppose. And I mean, there was no question. It's not a slight on Cardiff Thistle, but they weren't playing in a way that they were ever going to win the game because they had, albeit they were like relatively composed in possession. I thought when sort of trying to play through the press, they got to a certain point, like maybe sort of 30 yards from their own goal, and there's just nothing on. So the ball just obviously goes back to Celtic at that point, and another attack starts. So it felt as soon as Celtic sort of could be arsed, they would score, and they did. And the game was never really in doubt, apart from that brief sort of 5-minute spell at the end. But even then, when Cardiff Thistle scored, it's like they barely touched the ball after that. So not a classic Scottish Cup final by any stretch.
Yeah, it was funny. Like, when Fowler was looking for people to kind of discuss what had happened over the weekend, I'd said that I would definitely be watching Ross County Partick Thistle, so could absolutely help out there. Then he said, we'll probably wrap that up with a Scottish Cup final. Could you still help out there? And I suddenly realised not only was I going to have to watch all of the Scottish Cup final, I was actually going to have to pay attention to it, which absolutely wasn't in my plans over the weekend.
Yeah.
But the thing was, like what did I want to happen? So obviously I wanted Inverness Cali to win. Failing that, bearing in mind Raith Rovers haven't beaten them since the year 2000, which is something like 32 attempts, I was also absolutely okay if Celtic beat them by 9. Like, I would have been fine with that. And anything that happened in between those 2 points would have been thoroughly disappointing. So I suppose I got the worst of both worlds. And I suppose what was even worse, and amongst that, was there was points during the game that I was like, you know something, Inverness maybe have a tiny, tiny squeak of a chance here, which is probably like after about half an hour, I thought, you know something, in terms of that kind of game, if you're Inverness, you need Celtic to have an off game. You need to have all of your kind of defensive unit and midfielders to be organised and strong and do exactly what they needed to do. But after that, you need somebody who can drag you up the park 40, 50 yards at a time. You need to win set pieces in the final third. You need to have strikers that can feed off scraps. And in terms of the forward play, they never really had that. And the wee kind of times where I thought, maybe they've got a wee bit of a chance, which was just before half time. Then Celtic scored. Then maybe after about half an hour, 65 minutes, I was like, Inverness have done okay the second half. Then Celtic scored again. Then when Inverness went 2-1, I'm like, well, let's go for it. And then Celtic went 3-1. So it was ultimately disappointing. But the fact that it wasn't a classic, the fact that there probably wasn't too much to talk about, probably like warrants a compliment for how Inverness approached the game and how they played it out, I suppose.
I agree with that. I thought, like, if you're Billy Dodds and you are setting up your tactics before the game, I think he got exactly what he was hoping for to happen in terms of how much they stifled Celtic. Celtic in the first period up to that goal didn't really have a meaningful chance, I wouldn't have said.
Obviously, they didn't have a shot at all for like 20 minutes or so. Like, it was a long time before they had any effort whatsoever.
Yeah, and Inverness weren't threatening them, but at the same time, you're like, well, if you can keep doing that for another 40 minutes, you know, suddenly, you know, all it takes is like somebody to fall over or like a clearance to accidentally bounce over Joe Hart's head and you could win the cup. But it never happened. And I think you're probably right that the execution tactically was right. And the players, and I don't mean it as a blame on the players, it's just that several of them are probably not quite good enough to execute what would have taken that the next step, probably what St Mirren did to Celtic, because St Mirren have got slightly better players than Inverness, which is why they're sixth in the Premiership and not sixth in the Championship. Yeah. And somebody like Jay Henderson, a St Mirren player, was, funnily enough, probably the player that they would have hoped might have been able to drag them up the park just with the running, and they might have hoped Mackay could have done what he can do against Championship teams and even probably quite poor Premiership teams in terms of holding the ball up. But Celtic's defence and Celtic's team is just slightly too good for that to be to have happened.
There's a massive difference in terms of Billy Mackay having a good season against central defenders like Tom Lang, but then asking him to try and do something similar against Carol Starfelt, who isn't Celtic's best centre half, but regardless, it's just a massive step up. And it was interesting listening to Billy Dodds before the game, because what he described was almost entirely what panned out. So he was like, okay, so you need to make it difficult for them. You don't want to defend just in front of your 18-yard box. However, sometimes you don't really have that option. That's just what you have to do. And it's a fine balance in terms of trying to get at this Celtic team. And that was the second part of what they weren't able to do. And that wasn't unexpected in any shape or form, unfortunately.
But they didn't fall into the trap, I think, of like packing the box. It wasn't like just stick everyone behind the ball and hoof it clear. As you said, June, they were trying to play out of the space. Mm-hmm. It was just that they got, you know, they maybe got through the Celtic front line and then players would get the ball and just had nothing on and they had no, and then so I thought like there was not that it is now of any value whatsoever, given that, that Ange Postecoglou won't be Celtic manager tomorrow, probably.
Right.
It was a little blueprint as to how you might have got something off of his Celtic team. But it's like providing the blueprint after the house has already been built, or that's not right, not quite a perfect analogy. It would be like...
Yeah.
How to plan in the explosion of a building after the building has already fallen down.
It was. I thought, like, because someone like Billy McKay, obviously, you're not going to, like, you know, he's almost the Gareth Thistle's record goal scorer. And obviously, you're not going to not play him. And it's not that they had a better option that they could have played anyway, but he's just not really the type of striker that you would have wanted in that. You know, you want probably someone much worse at football than him, but that could run all day. And just, you know, maybe just get a bit of luck. You know, you want like a, you know, an Ayunga or a Curtis Main, you know, somebody of that kind of ilk, or that, you know, that maybe could have just caused something to happen just through sort of running the channels. But they didn't have any players like that, and ultimately they just weren't able to hurt Celtic at all.
Is there anything? I mean, I'm really struggling for things to talk about in this game, because I mean, I sat down and I was going to watch it anyway, but I was probably going to watch it. We were at a 3-year-old's birthday party before the game. So thank you for Ian Maxwell for delaying the kickoff so that I could get back home to watch it. I was obviously like just would have sat down, kind of half watched it, but even watching it and thinking, what am I going to talk about in the podcast? I'm like, Celtic are much better than Inverness. Congratulations on that. I was very amused at the constant hyperbole in the BBC commentary that was entirely unjustified for what was happening. Like pretending the crowd were like so fired up for what they weren't, stuff like that. All of Celtic's-
I think what did annoy me a bit is the, like, maybe technically it's correct about this whole world record for the amount of trebles that they've won, but then, and again, I could be wrong here, I don't think there's too many countries in the world have two cup competitions. So there's probably not too many countries that are up against in terms of providing world records for trebles.
Yeah, I think it's that the UK countries, I think, all have it, and then France did have a League Cup.
It's like equivalent of Six Nations.
Basically, I don't know, there's probably other countries, but yeah, it feels a bit, because otherwise, if you are a Romanian team, the only way you're winning the trebles is if you win the Champions League or win a European trophy, which isn't hugely likely for... you know, Steaua Bucharest or whatever it is, although they did do it once. I know what you mean. It feels like people like to make up records and there to be records, and it's like, it's a bit like when they're talking about the number of trophies. I think Rangers claim that they've won the most trophies of any club in the world, or at least they did. It's the same thing, because you're comparing to clubs that have just got less opportunity. Less.
I think obviously the whole point of the record is it's just more than Rangers, so that's enough. I don't know if you need to put the whole world record thing on it.
In terms of the two clubs, Celtic win the cup, Celtic win the treble, their umpteenth treble in recent years, and that's, listen, the fact that they can keep that going is very impressive. I do think in terms of the two clubs and where they go from this, yes, Celtic now could... are potentially going to be looking for a manager. In terms of Inverness, I kind of feel that's a more interesting story, because I thought that when they exited this tournament initially, and the fact that they finished mid-table in the Championship, the fact that you're looking at their kind of financial results in recent years, I genuinely thought that Inverness might be in a wee bit of trouble in terms of going forward. I think this plugs a big hole. I do think what is probably interesting from here on is, do they give Billy Dodds another contract? Mm-hmm. Because I know fans are probably on the fence in terms of whether he deserves a new one, and then how many of these players, certainly the better players, that they can keep, and then whether they still have, although they've obviously managed to plug a big hole, whether they have a decent budget in terms of strengthening next season and going for the playoffs. Because obviously Robbie Deas has gone. He's signed for Kilmarnock. I think Scott Allardyce, who I thought he had a very good game on Saturday, he hasn't had his best season, I didn't think, in the middle of the park, but I do think he's very good at protecting the back four. I think he's out of contract, so he might move on. So it'd be interesting to see where are Inverness going in terms of Billy Dodds and squad-wise for next season and over the summer?
I can't decide on Billy Dodds. I find him a very odd, because I thought he was going to be a disastrous appointment, but then actually last season there was a spell where I thought, you know what, they could win the league. And then, the season before this one. And then this season, it felt like they did have a quite ridiculous injury list in that period. And actually, after they got reinstated into the cup, it basically was like a sliding doors for theirs and Queen's Park seasons, because they kind of both seemed to plot. And then, but for obviously the last day of the season against Air United was their first defeat in a long time, but it was enough to take them not even out, just out of the top four, but down to sixth in the league. But on another day, they would have been back in the playoffs again. And for Inverness, that's not that bad, but at the same time, it's kind of par. And
yeah,
he seems to have rubbed fans up the wrong way a wee bit at times. And it's not, I don't know how appealing a job it is, though.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because I know Fowler did a podcast with a Cow Thistle fan maybe a month or two ago, and certainly the view then from the chap, I've forgotten the name of, apologies, was that that they would almost certainly be looking to move on from Dodds in the summer. But I wonder, I mean, I suppose, is beating Falkirk in a semi-final reason to keep him? A team you probably should. I think Falkirk maybe went into that slight favourites despite the difference in league position. But is that enough to hang your hat on Billy Dodds? Because in a creditable showing in the Scottish Cup final against the half-hour Celtic, I don't know.
I think
who else do you get?
I think they had a horrific injury record, and if you are Billy Dodds and you're trying to justify why you deserve if you want another contract at Inverness, then that's what you turn to. I had a horrendous injury record at the start of the season. However, despite that, I was only a couple of points away from qualifying for the playoffs, and I got to the Scottish Cup final. And you would imagine that would be enough to get him a new deal. It feels like that's enough to get him a new deal. And even in terms of Inverness fans who say that he is tactically inept, which has very much been something that's been thrown at him, they didn't necessarily, and I know you don't necessarily look at one game in isolation, but in terms of watching them for 90 minutes against the best team in Scotland, they didn't look tactically inept on Saturday. So maybe if they'd had not even a kind of full quota of players for the bulk of the season, maybe just one or two more, then maybe they would have gotten the top four. But no, I think if he wants another deal, if he's still interested in being there next season, I suspect he'll get another contract. Whether that pleases Inverness fans or not, I'm not entirely sure.
And I think the actual getting to the final and the money from that is probably very timely, because I think they would have, it feels like Inverness say they're cutting their budget every year, but it might have been that they are now a wee bit protected from the, you know, they might be able to build a competitive squad in terms of budget wise, which they may not have been able to do. So it's an interesting one. It's they're a strange club. Always, you can never really put your finger on where they are, and they do seem to go through these spells where they have big winning runs and big losing runs, like more than other clubs do. But I think getting to a Scottish Cup final is always a pretty big deal. And I mean, I've been at one in my lifetime when I was eight. So, like, do you know what I mean? And I suppose a club that's been in the top flight almost that entire time. So it's a big deal. And I think he probably, they should keep him if he wants to stay, like you, but I don't have a sense of what's going to happen. Celtic, obviously, Postecoglou presumably is going to be away up the road and or down the road to London, and we'll wait and see what happens there. But you can't really argue with what he's won. Like, he's literally won every single trophy he's entered domestically.
No, not the Scottish Cup last season.
No, sorry, you're right. Sorry, I was thinking he won the last year and he didn't. Sorry, that's correct. He's won five out of the six trophies that he's entered.
Yes.
Sorry. Uh-huh. That's weird. I thought I had that in my head and I was like, but nonetheless, he also really didn't do very much in Europe. And I don't get, going straight into the Champions League is a blessing and a curse in a sense, because you've always got the risk of not winning games, but I think they didn't really do themselves justice in most of that campaign. They didn't do themselves justice in the in Europe last season at all.
No.
But
they knocked out three competitions.
Well, yeah, which is quite an achievement and something that will happen to a few teams. But yeah, there's obviously it's a much better job that the person after him is inheriting than what he inherited, and that's got. But I thought it was going to be a disaster, and I was wrong about that. But at the same time, I think he's been over eulogised in terms of like. I think most Celtic managers would have beat this Rangers team over the last 2 years in the league, and winning the cups is. It's not everyone can win a treble. It isn't like every manager goes and does it, but Celtic would have been favourites to win each of those competitions. So it's not like some against the odds thing either. I'm sure there'll be a podcast about who they appoint and the whole thing about that. So we won't touch on it more than that. But anything else to say on the cup final?
Do you know something? The only thing I was going to say that I see in terms of it now becomes, were you meaning that the Celtic job, when it becomes available, presuming it becomes available, is now a better one to take than it was when he took it?
Well, the club are in a better position, so it's one of the weird ones. It's like it was probably easier to take the Man United job after David Moyes than it was after Ferguson. But the club are in a better position, like the squad's better. He's going into straight into a Champions League campaign, etc. And I think to touch on it, like Brendan Rodgers has been linked with it. I think he would be simultaneously the best option for Celtic in terms of who's available, because he's a very good manager, but also the funniest, because they lost their shit when they left the first time and they'd have to kind of go back tail between their legs. So I would like to see that. I would like to see someone absolutely terrible take the job.
It will be interesting to see how Krabbit Postecoglou gets down in England when he loses his ninth league game of the season. Bear in mind, he seems quite Krabbit when he's lost one.
Yes, yeah, that'll be the big sort of test of does his sort of shtick work, if you know, his sort of cult leader thing. I mean, I don't know if it's intentional, but that's, as we can see from the reaction amongst certain Celtic fans of him leaving, it is like, you know, he has a sort of cult leader thing going on up here. I don't know if that will fly at Spurs. So, because it's different. I mean, he obviously had a rocky start at Celtic, and had Rangers started the last season better, then potentially he could have been out, you know, quite quickly. But they didn't, and you know, he was still in there, and then obviously the improvement was pretty quick, and after that. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, Spurs aren't obviously in a great position, so but I mean, it's an amazing job. I think it's a massive leap to take. And it's impressive that, you know, he's done so well at Celtic that he's got a chance at a job with this, because I'm surprised any manager in Scotland can get a job as big as that directly from Scotland, to be honest.
Especially without having a profile in England and also not having achieved anything in Europe, which are the two things that, you know, Gerrard had the profile in England that probably got him a job bigger
than the European record.
And did well in Europe. And then, you know, other managers, if he'd won something in Europe, that might have been appealing. But yeah, it will be interesting for him. And the thing is, it's quite cutthroat there in terms of like it was Nuno that went to Spurs and was gone in like 10 weeks or something. It's not inconceivable that he could just turn up, rub people up the wrong way, lose a bunch of games and get binned, but he would still be better off for it financially. And I think he has to take the chance. This will be the last and only chance he'll get to manage a club that size.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Right, will we move on then to...
Yes.
A competition, a playoff final pretty much always delivers, and it certainly did this year. Ross County, inconceivably... coming from behind to beat Partick Thistle 3-1 and then win 5-4 on penalties, I think it was. Incredible stuff. Like, for 160 minutes, Partick Thistle were incredibly comfortable. There looked like there was absolutely no doubt who was going to win that tie. And then they just crumbled for... probably actually only 20 minutes, because actually they were a better team in extra time as well.
Yeah.
But that was just enough for them to to have their dreams snatched away.
There's so many elements to it. I mean, it was a bit of a, you know, the Dingwall screw job, a wee bit, because that was never a penalty. I'm sorry. That was because it was a foul. I don't think, like, the first penalty decision, I don't think you can, I don't think that really matters. I mean, I think you can argue that either way, but I don't think it matters because Thistle scored quite quickly afterwards. But the penalty that Brian Graham gave away, I mean, and that, but from there, obviously, it's all part of Thistle's fault because they then did shite it. I mean, they completely did.
I thought both were penalties. Like, I know we'll maybe go through it in order.
Yeah.
But I thought both were penalties. Like, I thought great. Like, Craig, you know better than me, but like his arm was away. And it almost went, and I'm not saying he intended it, but also he kind of flicked his arm at it. And that might just be luck, that might be just or bad luck, but it, like, his arm was extended away and they flicked it. So at the time I thought, I thought, right, that probably is a penalty.
It was really weird, wasn't it? And I would say, I usually watch, for me, it's myself, certainly Casado, which I suppose I am, but I usually watch the football myself because nobody else in my house. I've got a wife who's not interested in football and a child who's not old enough to be indoctrinated by me yet. So, but I was down at my mum and dad yesterday, so me and my dad and my brother were watching it, and the Doherty one I thought was a penalty, like I said, I think that's a penalty. And then the two of them, even when we were watching the replays back, were like, oh, I don't think so. And so I was like, well, that's fair enough for that not to be given, because there's clearly Greg Aitken thought it was and Nick Walsh thought it wasn't, and fine, that's entirely how VAR should operate. The Graham one is what I find annoying about VAR. Technically correct decision, I think, but I'm not even sure anyone really was after a penalty for that. I think there was maybe a bit of, I thought maybe the County players were looking for a foul, like a grab.
Yeah, they sort of fell in a heap.
Yeah, they... And it seemed like, yeah, that came up. And Ross County have had three penalties all round about the exact same point in the game when they've been in the last, against St Johnstone, they were 2-0 down. They got a handball penalty. Against Killy, they were 2-0 down. They got fair enough, it was a penalty for Ash Taylor Poole. And then in that one, they got it. And it feels like they've certainly rode the luck a bit with those. Nonetheless, as you say, not only in terms of like the penalty gets scored and fair enough, and immediately from that kickoff, like,
part of it's like
not only are you giving them the ball, you're also like basically shining up in big flashing lights. We are completely rattled here, because it's like the ball just gets passed straight out the park. Ross County get the throw in, and basically it's like bing, bing, bang, and goal. And at that point, you kind of saw the writing on the wall. But even after all that, like, I don't remember a team missing so many gilt-edged chances and doing it so badly. Like, it wasn't even like just like, you know, forcing Ross Leibler to make saves. Everything was getting skied and lashed over the bar. I think it was like at least three different players, because Brian Graham definitely had one, Danny Mullen definitely had one, and Stuart Bannigan definitely had one.
Yeah,
his was the worst of the lot, because that was pretty much the end of the game. That's game over. If you, well, you never know with these, but it's. So I find it hard, even, and I think Thistle fans were probably the same, to really point at officials, because even if you got they could not have been presented with more chances, and it must be so frustrating, because I think Chris Dillon probably made a mistake in terms of not showing up a wee bit more, but he did try. He put Bannigan on, he just happened to have an absolute stinker, and
I was wondering about. It was interesting to see when I went to. So I've spoken. I've been impressed by Chris Doolan. It's been impossible not to be impressed by Chris Doolan because his record has been so good. But obviously, in terms of watching it for 90 minutes when the game isn't going well. So generally, I've only ever watched, well, everybody has only watched Chris Doolan when things have been going well. But it was interesting watching him when I went to, well, certainly when I went to 3-2 because I went from 3-1 to 3-2 so quickly. And like maybe that's how he is all the time. But it just seemed like there was nothing going on. And then you think to yourself, right, so what's happening? What's happening internally here? Are you panicking? Are you thinking about things? You're not talking to anybody. You're not doing anything. You've brought in a sub that, okay, that might work. What I would say is, though, because at the time I was like, right, your players seem dead on their feet. Are you leaving on Brian Graham to take a penalty? Because he looks like he's goosed. His penalty record isn't great, but then... As much as I've kind of spoken about how Partick Thistle have a wee bit of strength and depth compared to other championship teams this season, see, in terms of the players that he didn't bring on, like actually, like he could have brought on Cammy Smith, he could have brought on Anton Dowds, he could have brought on Lee Hodgson. Would you have wanted to bring those guys on? I suppose if the guys are absolutely knackered, but the rest of the bench was pretty much young players. So maybe then they have too many options. But I just felt it felt like there was a wee bit inactivity from Doolan, but maybe I'm being harsh. I don't know.
I was surprised because I thought like players like Hodgson have done it a lot. I think he played for Killy in a playoff. I think he played in that. I could be getting wrong. I think he might have played for us in the 2000 with Falkirk one. Players that have been there and done it. Anton Dowds has been around a lot. Like these guys may just have had that wee extra. You're not throwing. I mean, Ross kind of had to throw in a boy for literally his debut, just because of injuries and stuff. They weren't in that position, and that did feel like a failing. But at the same time, I find it difficult to judge him harshly because I think what he did would have won them the match, 99 times out of 100. It was just a complete freak.
Another thing I would say, and again, I'm not trying to be dismissive of what Partick Thistle have achieved over the last few weeks. Because there's obviously been this thing where they've finished fourth and it's the first time that they've got to a final. And obviously, at one point on Sunday, it very much looked like they were going to get promoted to the Premiership. without looking back and checking, I can't imagine there's too many times where the team that's finished fourth compared to everybody else that they could potentially face and ultimately did face are in such terrible form. Like, see when those playoff spots were decided, when Partick Thistle managed to kind of elbow their way into fourth, at that point I was like, right, they're reaching the final. I didn't fancy Partick Thistle to stop them. They were in poor form. Ayr haven't won too many games since about November. They also had the benefit of Akinyemi not being fit for the first leg and then getting sent off in the second leg. And again, I'm not sure I'd be dismissive because Partick Thistle were brilliant across those four games and they were excellent in the first leg against Ross County. Again, another team who've been in terrible form. But in terms of this, fourth place. It just felt like everything was set up for them. And I don't think, obviously this is going to smart and this is going to hurt for them and it's going to be a great summer for their fans. And there might be that maybe players depart over the summer, I would expect to do. But I think this is a huge opportunity for any team that finishes fourth and be in good form to get promoted. But for Thistle, this felt like a golden opportunity that they've kind of let slip through their fingers.
And then you've got Dundee United coming down and the Pals coming up and the league is probably going to be stronger. You've sensed maybe United will be a shambles. And I think... you don't know, but I was quite. I don't like or dislike or anything particularly, so I go back and forward with it. But I was almost felt a bit disappointed for them yesterday, and I didn't really expect to feel like that. But it felt like this was a team that I wanted to see step up, and I think most of the players would have hung around for the Premiership, and now most of the players won't as well. I think. Doherty's probably got his only shot at playing the top flight. Tiffany will probably attract enough interest. Turner will probably attract enough interest. Given that they're all on freeze, either from bottom half Premiership clubs or someone like Dundee United who will just be able to blow them out of the water financially. And that that will be a worry for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, what else do we go through? I think the Ross County team, I was very surprised not to see Simon Murray starting again. Mm-hmm. Because Alex Samuel, I didn't really think he'd done much.
Yeah, Alex Samuel is a very difficult player to get my head around. He looks a wee bit like a professional wrestler, I think, but not one of the American ones, like one of the sort of knockoff UK ones, maybe like an NXT or something like that. And back in the day, he's all action, but like a lot of the action's pretty pish. But he just seems to be involved a lot, and he was okay in the game, but Counter are a difficult team to watch, I think. Like, I just think they're involved in a lot of bad games of football. Not this one, this was a cracking game of football, but not really because of them. Thistle would have been Thistle would have been better in the league than County. So I want Thistle to come up for that reason. Sadly, it's not decided in that way. The County just, I don't think, really deserve to stay up over the piece, over the season, for employing Malky Mackay. Lots of reasons, and yet, there they are, because even the third goal, Bannigan has it. I mean, obviously, it's not the best corner to have in injury time, but he did have the ball in a corner, and instead of just trying to maybe win a throw in, like right beside him, or he was obviously scared of giving away a long throw, I presume, and that's why he just sort of lumped the ball up the park so aimlessly, and then, Thistle are sort of a bit disorganised, and 2 seconds later it's in the back of the net. So yeah, just it was a real, real sore one. You had to chuckle at the Thistle fans though, because that was very funny.
Yeah, because it was a sudden, like, over that period from being absolutely bouncing and the place was rocking to just a very quick descent to like panic to then sheer disappointment. It is like it doesn't matter which club it is, that's going to be amusing. And they probably make themselves quite easy targets because they're not unlikable as a support, but they're also like quite appropriate victims of parody. I think they had quite a bit of hubris, I felt, coming into this, and maybe most of it was it wasn't a bad hubris in the sense that they weren't very good in flying into all these games, but and actually, like, for I thought the Ross County crowd were pretty quiet for the whole game, but they did get into it a wee bit, and then the pitch invasion at the end was quite cool, like seeing all the pictures and stuff. It looked class, and I do not understand people who get like po-faced about this. It's like how is the Premiership team staying up and saying we're going to be in the Premiership next season somehow magically different to the Championship team being in the Premiership next season?
I always think the old celebrating too hard stick is always the last vestige of a real loser. But see in terms of Ross County, so bear in mind that I very rarely come on podcasts to talk about big boys football. So I haven't watched too much of Ross County. I did watch them play against Kilmarnock. I thought they were dreadful. I thought they were absolutely dreadful from back to front. Watched bits of the first leg, thought they were terrible. Thought they could have lost by more. And I think ultimately that's where Patrick Thistle lost it. To be fair, they could have scored more in the second leg. If you'd... You know the kind of non-McDonald skit where he's talking about all the stars? See if you chucked in a couple of Ross County players in between Beardy Man and Dark's Flame. I don't think I'd be able to pick them out. See if you chucked in Ben Purrington. I wouldn't be able to pick him out. But I suppose, I could be totally barking up the wrong tree here, but the fact that they've managed to stay up with a team that looks really bad. To see what you mentioned earlier about Alex Samuel, I just think he's terrible. I think when the ball goes to him, it's where good moves go to die, essentially. He has the arse of John McGinn, but rather than him allowing it to kind of squeeze past other players, it just weighs him back. I thought it was poor. Like, I know he had the assist. The fact that he's playing up front with Jordan White, they looked rubbish. And you're right in terms of that, like, Simon Murray didn't start. I find that surprising. Not because I particularly think Simon Murray is a Premiership caliber forward,
But compared to Jordan White and Alex Samuel, I do think he's better. And I think when I've seen him coming on, I think he provides a far better outlet. I think he is a better finisher, albeit not a particularly great one. I think he's a better link man. And the fact that he hasn't been starting recently, I find confusing. However, albeit I've not watched too many Ross County games, but I was, and I've been surprised at how bad they are. And the fact that they managed to finish above Dundee United, my goodness.
Well, I think, I mean, you were saying about a team that didn't deserve to stay up. I think you could easily argue that the entire bottom four of the Premiership this season were offensively bad. So probably an argument for just sending four down and just sending Dundee. In fact, I mean, would you even send Dundee up? I'm not sure, but like, no. Nonetheless, it's very pathetic thing to do, but I'm always sitting at this time of year, like counting out like which teams I'm a pretty confident Killy will finish ahead of next season. And I was sitting there, and I'm like. Well, no, but I was thinking Thistle were a certainty. Like, I think they would have stuck with the same squad and would have done okay, but probably finished 11th or 12th. And I think Livingston might struggle next season. And I was like, and Dundee, I would always fancy. Right. And I'm like, right, that's giving me a wee bit of hope. And Ross County are just a team.
You're almost in the top six here.
Yeah, well, exactly. You just need to, so hopefully St Mirren drop off, and before you know it, St Johnston, Stephen McLean, you know, who the Hearts support. I mean, Celtic, Rangers, but you also know, maybe we're going to win the league, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But the Ross County are one that are really hard to put a finger on. They finished top six last season. They finish above us most of the time, to be honest, and we also never win in Dingwall. I did see it happen basically a decade ago now, but it's rare that we do that. Whereas like Fir Hill is a happy hunting ground for us, and I was like, from that point of view, selfishly as well, it's just, it's not an ideal outcome. But at the same time, the achievement, I mean, fair play to them to be able to come back from that, and also to hold on there when Thistle didn't in that penalty shootout, because most of them held on there, like Keith Watson certainly didn't. But
that penalty is too funny to be in the winning side. I mean, come on, that was, he almost cleared the stand. I mean, it's obviously not the biggest stand in the world to clear, but nonetheless, like, very nearly cleared it. And for your captain to miss in that kind of circumstance, definitely thought at that stage that Thistle were gonna win it, but no.
Even though County scored the first three, I was like, right, okay. But the thing is, so like I saw Dander scored, like took a brilliant penalty against Kelly. I goes, right, yeah, so presumably did, yeah. Again without really looking into it, goes, right, presumably Dander is a penalty taker. Then it was Simon Money, forward you would expect. Jordan White, not necessarily expect to score his penalty, but he was the forward.
That was a really good penalty he took, actually.
You're right. I was going to say pleasantly surprised. I was just surprised at how how well he took it. But then after that, I was like, right, well, like, who's taking your penalties now? Is there anybody else in your team that's confident about taking penalties? And then was it Baldwin that stepped forward?
Mm-hmm.
Who was it saved? Did he have a saved? And then. Yeah. Then obviously Watson, and it was quite funny because like Watson had a couple of chances in the game, and I think when he'd had the chance in the first half, and Ian Crocker said that he hadn't scored the goal for 4 years. So see, when he strode forward, I was like, oh dear, I'm not. I know penalties are slightly different from scoring goals. Like, maybe he scored in a penalty shootout. I have no idea. Maybe he scores penalties in training. I have no idea. But the fact that he'd specifically mentioned that Watson hasn't scored a goal in 4 years, I was like, right. There's no way you're scoring this. I didn't expect it to go so far over the bar, but I had no confidence in him. But there was just a point where, like, was it three in a row that were missed? And it was like, my goodness, this is going on all night. So fair play to Sims, who took a very, what was presumably a very stressful penalty. And presumably he never, obviously didn't stick his hand up for the first five, but it was an excellent penalty.
To be fair to him, was quite good when he came on. Like, I'm not really a big fan. In general, like, I think he doesn't. He's another one of these players, like all the stars type guys. He's been there a while, but he's barely played. But I thought his energy made a big difference when they brought him on down that side, and he was getting back and defending a lot because he had to do a lot of defending in extra time. And I thought he was quite good. And that's the thing. Like, I think you can't question the commitment of those players across both legs because the amount of things they flung themselves in front of in that. That first leg, I mentioned it on the podcast that we did on that, and then the same again, like, they stuck to it. I thought they were going to fall apart because they fell apart against Killy. We just packed it in when if they had ever unpacked it in the first place, but they stuck with it even when they did go behind, and they weren't doing anything, but they were still slinging balls into the box and all the rest of it, which is obviously where the penalty came from. And like, yeah, it's hard to grudge a bunch of players who put everything in and managed to have the bottle and the guts to fight back. Like, mm-hmm. Fair play to them.
Yeah. But see, with I was thinking to go back to Barry Thistle, like, to what extent should Ian McCall be blamed for Barry Thistle not being promoted? Because so, it did look to me like that does look to me like the best team in the championship, and it didn't win.
So I said at the start of the season that I thought that it was certainly between Partick Thistle and Dundee, and I thought Partick had slightly more quality about their squad than Dundee did. And I actually thought the first game of the season might have had a bearing on it. Obviously, it didn't. Partick Thistle won 3-2 at Dens Park. Ultimately, it didn't matter. Dundee have been far more consistent. Partick Thistle had key injuries at points in the season. So I know Tiffany was out for a while. I think Holt was out for a while. And without those players, like, they did struggle. However, I do think that Ian McCall put together, that I think his recruitment was very good, but I think how he managed that team and how he set them out and the performances and the results that he got, even setting aside the injuries, weren't good enough. And I'm not saying he was sacked too late or he was relieved of his duties a bit late. I mean, it made a happen just after Ibrox. So at the time, it almost felt a bit weird.
It did.
But it also felt like it was coming. And I think if it had happened sooner, and I'm not saying it should have happened sooner, but I think if it had happened maybe the month before and Doolan had come in, Partick Thistle might have won the league because there wasn't very much between those top four teams at all. And I don't think McCall done a very good job this season. But you know, something, it's like, you can say that about anything in terms of it's all ifs, buts, and maybes. But I do think that you saw what this Partick Thistle team was capable of once Doolan come in. So maybe if he'd come in a bit sooner. But never mind. They lost a 3-goal lead with 20 minutes ago, and that's funny.
Yes, indeed.
And it's I feel like it's one of these things they always talk about, oh, you know, having another game to follow up from it and being able to bounce back really quickly. And it's like, no, you've not got another game for, well, it's Scottish football's about 3 weeks, but still. Mm-hmm. You know, you've not got anything until the League Cup and in early July, so you're suddenly having to dwell on this for a long time.
I suppose what would be interesting is, so what we've already seen is, I think, albeit it's quite a small sample size, is that he has certainly been able to get more out of the squad than McCall is. I suppose now what might be key is, that we haven't seen, is what is his recruitment like? Mm-hmm. Because I think they will lose key players, but if his recruitment's good, then yes, Partick Thistle could be in the equation for winning the league, because I think Dundee United will be absolute muck again. So you never know. Maybe they'll have a brilliant season next season.
Anything else to add on this? I think we've extended, given that we're only talking about two games, to get through 45 minutes is quite impressive. So well done to the three of us. Thank you to all of our listeners for sticking with us through the entire season. As I said, there will be a season awards show that's been recorded in person tonight, I think. Four people on that, can't remember who, but four of them, Tony, Fowler, two others maybe.
Telfer,
Amy, maybe.
Yes.
That'll be good fun, I'm sure. And then we'll have probably some coverage of this. Well, we will have some coverage of the Scotland games that are still coming up in the next couple of weeks. Some season previews, reviews, they all roll into one at this point because the summer does last about 2 weeks. And plenty of other stuff coming on the Patreon over the summer. I think the main shows usually take a wee short break in that period. So if you're wanting to keep up with the content over the summer, the place to do that is patreon.com/terracepodcast, where for as little as £2 per month, you can get an amount of content that you should really be costing you a lot more than £2 per month, because it's about 100 podcasts, it feels like. That's not a guarantee or a promise, but it's lots and lots. It's almost too much at times. And for a fiver, you can get even more. We are about to go over and record a team of the year But as always, a little twist where you can only pick a single player from each club. So that will be what we'll be doing now. And I would just say good night to Sean.
Good night.
And good night to Ewan.
Good night.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.